Johnson, the Honorable Mr. Johnson, will serve as the panel lead for you, sir, so just hold on.
Good afternoon, sir. Could you please state your full name, your ADC number for us for the record?
Alex Betancourt, number 13-3066.
Okay, Mr. Betancourt, you're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, so I'm going to introduce you to the members that are conducting your hearing today. To my far left is the Honorable Luis Quinones. Coming down the line is the Honorable David Neal. In the middle, you have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chair. And to my immediate left is the Honorable Mrs. Gary Rittenhouse. Sir, my name is Michael Johnson. I'm going to be acting as your panel lead today. Also with us, sir, representing the Department of Correction is Mr. Turner. And Mr. Turner also represents your parole officer.
Okay.
All right. Sir, prior to your hearing today, you received and signed a notification form advising you of this board's hearing. Do you recall receiving and signing that form, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, on that form, you were notified of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or to hire a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney as you representing yourself, Mr. Redcar?
I guess I'm just representing myself. I wasn't able to hire an attorney.
Okay. Sir, at this time, I'd like to swear you and Mr. Turner in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, sir.
I do.
Okay, so your hearing will be conducted in two phases. In phase one, the board will make a determination whether the terms and conditions of the community supervision have been violated. In phase two, the board will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on the community supervision. You're going to start out in phase one. Sir, you have one allegation listed on your warrant. I am going to read that allegation to you. When I read that allegation to you, I need you to state whether the allegation is either true or false. Do you understand what I'm requesting?
Yes, sir.
Okay, the allegation on your warrant states that you in violation of Arizona condition of supervision. Number 12, the as demonstrated by your noncompliance discharge from Old Pueblo Community Service, 3314 East Flower Street in Tucson, on or about March 19, 2018. The figures whereabouts are unknown, thus he's absconded from supervision. Sir, is that true or false?
True, sir.
Okay, thank you, sir. Well, based on the admissions of Mr. Benicar, I am going to move to find that he was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of his supervision, and that he may have lapses about the lapses into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay, motion by myself, second by Ms. Rittenhouse, agreed Mr. Quinones, agreed Mr. Neal, and agreed Dr. Wright. So the board is, we're going to go into phase two of your hearing. During phase two of the hearing, the board's going to make the determination whether to revoke or reinstate you on your community supervision. We're going to start out phase two with first getting some additional information from Mr. Turner, the parole officer. Then we're going to come back to you, sir, and get any additional information that you'd like to present to the board at that time, okay?
Okay.
All right, Mr. Turner.
Mr. Bencourt was released from ADC custody on 2/28/2018 and arrested on 5/31/2018 by Tucson PD. No new charges. He was returned back to ADC custody on 6/1/2018 with an adjusted CSED of 11/9/2018 with 73 abscond days. Current conviction, 2016, narcotic drug violation, 1 year, 9 months. Prior convictions, 1997, robbery, 2 years. 1999, commitment B, count one, aggravated assault, 7 years, 6 months. 1999, commitment B, count two, aggravated assault, 7 years, 6 months. 1999, commitment B, count three, aggravated assault, 10 years. 1999, commitment B, count four, aggravated assault, 10 years. 1999, commitment B, count five, aggravated assault, 10 years. 2012, commitment C, count one, dangerous drug violation, 1 year, 6 months. 2012, commitment C, count three, drug paraphernalia violation of 1 year. This is his fourth term in ADC. He has a CUIR score of 3.3, mental health score of 2, substance abuse score of 2. He's a self-admitted member of the Perimeter Street Gang Southside Brothers from Tucson. Prior terms of supervision, 1999, TIS release, arrested, reached CSED in custody. 2009, TIS release completed 5 months. 2014, TIS release absconded for 56 days, arrested in Texas, breached CSED in custody. Disciplinary is significant, lengthy with conspiracy, drugs, disorderly conduct, and death noted. Other arrest, 2010, assault, Arizona, misdemeanor conviction, probation. 2011, assault, Arizona, misdemeanor conviction, probation. 2016, narcotic drug violation, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. 2016, drug paraphernalia violation, Arizona, felony conviction, probation. Visit GB score of G7, V9.
Mr. Turner, could you give me that first TIS release he had or not?
The first TIS release?
Yes. Just go over all three of them again for me real quick.
Absolutely. Prior terms of supervision, 1999, TIS release, arrested, reached CSED, in custody. 2009, TIS release, completed, 5 months. 2014, TIS release, absconded, 56 days, arrested in Texas, reached CSED, in custody.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Absolutely.
So, Mr. Bittencourt, looks like when you were released, you were due to reside at El Pueblo Community Service, 3314 East Flower Street in Tucson, when you were released from prison. And it looks like on March 19th, you were discharged from the halfway house because you were not compliant with the house rules. No other address was given. What happened there, sir, that you wasn't compliant with the rules?
Okay, so upon release, I had, well, prior to my release, I was going through a DCS case, a separate trial, because of my incarceration was involved by the doctor. And when I was released, the case was still going on, and I had just started the plan to basically try to reunify with my daughter. So when I was in the halfway house, okay, I was obviously on parole and I had the conditions on the halfway house. But I also had DCS conditions that I had to comply with, and my plan was very full with classes and visitation with my daughter, and the classes that I had to be at for the halfway house also. So it was pretty hectic as far as my schedule goes. And I mean, I was only out for about three weeks or so, and I had my schedule so hectic. I explained to the woman who ran the halfway house, okay, I think it's kind of getting harder for me to do the classes, take the bus in the morning to go look for jobs, and get my food stamps and more than I had to do it on top of DCS conditions. So it actually came to a shock to me that I was discharged. I mean, because I had spoken with her, and I explained to her, well, I have a court date coming up, and it'll be my final court date to make the decision. So after that, you know, I'll be able to, my schedule will probably be a lot more open as far as the other things I had to do. You know, it was all new to me. I never had a DCS case before, and I never had to do so much. You know, I was out there on my own, no family and stuff like that. So I was trying to do what I had to do, but I needed a little help, and I just didn't. It was really heavy for me. I didn't expect her to discharge me, though, because we had sat down, and I thought she was okay with me for that week, just go ahead and to finish my court and my visitations and things I had, my new ways and jobs I had to do with DCS. So I was under the assumption that I was going to be fine for that week, but then I guess what also was, I was being discharged and not participating in the classes for that week. So, I mean, I know I've lost my passions, and I know I had to do that and make it work, and I tried, you know, I was trying to comply with everything I had to do with DCS, with the family house, and you know, I kind of got over my head with things, and also I was mentioning my depression with the situation with my daughter, didn't have me, I wasn't receiving my medication at the time and stuff like that. So, I mean, basically, it's just, I kind of, I kind of got over my head as far as classes and DCS commissions and halfway house commissions and stuff like that.
So, sir, let me ask you a question. So why didn't you attend all of your support meetings, and what was the deal with your refusal to UA?
No, I had participated in two classes, though. I don't know why I would say I didn't do any classes. I had, the week before, I had done two classes, and that was all I was able to do. But the reason that I was able to do more classes is because some of the things I had to do for DCS and for three of my food stamps and four for job one that just clashed with the scheduling of the classes. And she mentioned to me about switching over to the, I think, the night class that I mean, but I didn't get the opportunity to do that. The UA was, I ended up late one night, and when I went late, I showered, and I got ate some food, and I should have probably just went straight to the manager there or whatever, but because when I did that, when I did shower to eat, when I went, the guys that they had to do the UA all around, and the girls, the manager guy already locked the door and left, so I believe that's when he just put me down as a refusal, because I was out of the group. I didn't expect to be discharged. To be honest, I had spoken with her about the whole situation, and I was under the assumption that she was in a work with me, you know, and it was like the next day that I was discharged.
So, it looks like they were working with you, but you were absconding for 73 days. What were you doing in that period of time, sir?
Yeah, and that situation, that, you know, that's why, I mean, that's, you know, an area I know why I made my decision. What happened was, because I was discharged, I thought that I was going to be locked up because of that. And like I said, I had a DCS case with my daughter before coming up, and I had been fighting for about 2 years to keep my rights, like, going through a lot. I had to put my head in my aunt, and she was involved in the case, and she had paid for the lawyer, and she had been, like, all the way through the wall. And I didn't want to fail with money, but I know my rationalization was wrong, I guess, called rationalization, but I felt, okay, I don't even have a house, I don't have another address, my girls will put me in jail, and I have this court room. And if I'm in jail, I'm not going to be able to do anything to my daughter as far as keeping my license and my job. So I spoke to Mr. Wade, I believe it is, and my PO. I had called him and I told him that I was going to go with him. And my error was I didn't make it within that time frame or whatever. And I just wanted to keep my rights with my daughter. I didn't want to be in jail trying to fight in jail and go lose her.
So what happened with your daughter, sir? What's the status of your daughter?
Well, they ended up severing my rights because her age, she couldn't be in legal limbo due to like Arizona statutes and law and stuff like that. She, because the case had been going on for so long already, while I was incarcerated, they had some like further adoption, and that was another part of my depression, which led me to not make the right decision. I don't know what to do when it came to my parole officer, because like I was just under a lot of stress, and I didn't know if I had much support there with my aunt, who was in all the cases, was actually in New Mexico. I got in that state, so like. They didn't really care for my face, you know. I was able to see my daughter and start a business. I never dropped them. I was complying with all the guidelines, and due to that technicality, it was hard to get still set my rights, and I found it's a depression very bad. And so now it's all right. Since then, I've been taking medication for depression.
So, did you relapse once you fell into that depression, sir?
Relapse as far as.
Well,
depression was?
You said you got fell into a deep depression. Did you self-medicate or relapse and start doing drugs?
No, I eventually became, like, a hermit. I locked myself in my room. It was not, I would talk to people, I wouldn't go outside, but I had no energy, nothing like it.
So what did you do for those, 73 days while you were an absconder? How did you come in contact with Tucson PD?
I was on the list.
Okay, and how did you come in contact with Tucson PD?
I was down the street with a bike that had no lights, no night lights on it.
Okay, so I'm assuming.
And he pulled over for that and ran my name. I had to warn him.
All right, Mr. Benico. I'm going to see if the board has any additional questions. Seeing no questions coming from the board, so we're about to come up. Okay.
All right, Mr. Turner.
I understand that you...
Hold on 1 minute, sir. Hold on 1 minute. I'm going to get a comment from the parole officer, Mr. Turner.
For the record, I just want to notate that in OMS, on 3/29/2018, parole officer Waite did make contact with the offender's aunt, his emergency contact, who stated she had no idea of the offender's whereabouts.
Okay.
She's in New Mexico, and she ended up getting in contact with me a little while. That's how I found out about Mr. Waite. I didn't call Ms. Gonzalez, and then she put Mr. Waite on the phone, and we talked for a minute, and then we went from there, and I didn't go anywhere. I shouldn't. I wish I would have known. I'm supposed to be here. I didn't call him, I didn't get some extra charges. You know, with my dad, I should have been there. And
you should. That's what you should have done. Mr. Benico, you have been in custody 3 other times. One time in 1999, you got arrested. In 2009, you completed. And then in 2014, you were grounded for 56 days. And you were apprehended in Texas. But yeah, you do know the importance of contacting and staying in contact with your parole officer, isn't that right?
I understand that that's what I'm supposed to do. I just, you know, saying the sister's my daughter.
Okay.
I didn't know what was doing my depression. I really didn't know. I didn't know what was going to be the right decision. I knew in the end it saved my life anyway, but I was doing everything I could to fight for that. And I just didn't know if, I felt like, based on what happened with my PO, that was what was going to happen with my rights, how I didn't serve it.
Okay, so Mr. Benico, the board's going to go into discussion. During the discussion, we will make a determination whether to revoke or reinstate you under community supervision, sir.
I would like to ask the board, I guess you could call it a part of the system and get out of jail for some months, I haven't committed any major violent crimes or anything like that since I was a young teenager. And I did have drug problems, since during the time and being a little older. My problems came from my depression and drugs, and if there's something that can help me, as far as some kind of counseling or like somebody teach me cognitive skills, and I try to go to cognitive classes here, and they don't have to pay for now, that's not available, but it's something
supervision, sir. I'm going to ask you to stay on the line, have it remain silent while the board's in discussion. Okay? The board's now into discussion. Seems like Mr. Bencourt was doing well when he when he got out, he was doing his program. He said that he was in a battle trying to make sure that his rights wasn't severed with his daughter, which is very commendable. He's trying to make sure he spent some time. Says subsequently that his rights were severed, and he just went into a real low depression, and said he absconded for 73 days, and knew that Forbes had contacted his PO. He does have a prior in 2014. He was out and he absconded for 56 days during that period of time. It was the last time that that he was out and absconded for 56 days. He will be released on November 9th of 2018. I don't know if he takes this time that he has left, maybe try to get into some program. He's incarcerated and work on himself so that when he's released, he won't be in limbo. I'm not sure if he'll be able to do anything else with the custody of his daughter, but have some contact with her. But at least if he gets on and become productive, not have any negative contact with law enforcement, come back before this board again, I'm hoping that Mr. Benicourt could be a productive citizen and move forward and be a good father to his daughter. I'm willing to listen to the rest of my colleagues. Okay, therefore, I'm going to move to revoke the community supervision of Mr. Benicourt. Find that he was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of the supervision, that he may have lapses about to lapse into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agreed. Motion by myself. Second, Mr. Neal. Agreed. Ms. Quinones, Ms. Rittenhouse, and Dr. Wright. Okay, Mr. Benicourt. Sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so the board is voted to revoke the community supervision. You will be released on November 9th of 2018. At that time, sir, you won't be on any parole or any community supervision. And we hope, sir, that while you are still incarcerated, that you will take some time out and take any available classes that you have in there, so that when you are work with your CO3, that when you get released in November, sir, you won't have any more negative contacts with law enforcement, and you will be able to be a productive citizen, be a good father. So I want to just tell you that I think it was very commendable for you to take the time and try to be not having your rights severed with your daughter. I hope that when you're released in November, you won't be any legal limbo, that you won't be in as far as your situation is occurring, and maybe you'll be able to establish some type of a relationship with your daughter and continue to be a part of her life and work with her, sir. You won't be on any role in community supervision, so it will be up to you, sir. We want to wish you the best of luck in your endeavor, and we want to take the opportunity to thank you for participating in your hearing today. That is going to conclude your hearing at this time. It's been a court.